Exodus chapter 20. Find your place there, and then I want you to just wait on me there for a few minutes. I'm going to the book of Acts because I'm doing two things here. We'll get to the message momentarily. As I've announced, this month, the month of April, is Visitation Ministry Month. And one of those ministries under that ministry is the ministry of door-to-door. And I tell you, door-to-door evangelism is biblical. The Word of God teaches in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 42, that daily in every house, in the temple, and from house to house, every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And I want to burden you with something here, and I want you to pray about it. Ask the Lord to lay on your heart what He would have you to do. One thing the Lord is burdening my heart about is making sure that every home in this area gets the gospel from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, that doesn't mean that Buffalo Ridge is the only church doing this. There are other churches doing this, but we should not rely, in other words, say, well, let's let that church take care of that area and that church. No, let's look at our Jerusalem as our Jerusalem. And let's go after the souls of men. And I want to encourage you to think about this thought that every person has a Jerusalem. Everybody does. Everybody does. This church has a Jerusalem. But you have a Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is those within your own sphere of influence. Your Jerusalem would be your neighbors, your neighborhood, your co-workers, your family. So what we're going to be doing, God willing, next week in the bulletin, there's going to be a special insert. It's going to be a card for you to sign up. Now, what you're doing here, let me explain this. One thing that we run into when we're going into areas knocking on doors is finding a place to park. So the Lord has laid on my heart to start with our church family and help you reach your Jerusalem. So let me explain this. What we have here is Crystal Springs. Now, we have some families that live in Crystal Springs. We've got John Green, Mark Randolph helping with all of this. God bless them. Here's what we're going to be doing in the bulletin next week. If you have a desire to do this, nobody has to do it, but if you have a desire to do it, we want to help you reach your Jerusalem. That would be your neighbors, your neighborhood. If you're going to do it yourself, you would write that down on this card. I do not need help. I will take care of my own, okay? It'll be a place where you can check. Or if you would be willing to have help from this church come, we've already got a place to park. It's your driveway. You see what I'm saying there? And we will help you reach your neighbors. We will knock on every door, helping you and getting the gospel into every home in your area. Let me show you how this works. If you live in Crystal Springs, then there's going to be a map made just like this, okay? As visits start coming in, let's go to the next slide, they're going to start coordinating. Every one of those dots is a home. Every one of them, that's a home. And see these dots here, see the ledger over there, see where it says bus right there, that means a bus ride's desired. In other words, the house right there needs a bus ride. Okay? You see right here that those with blue and yellow, they're not home. Those in red, not interested. Those that have a cross, they're interested. Those in green, they need a future visit. Okay? Now let's say that we complete that whole area. Now we're going to go to another slide, and it's going to look something like this. Okay? Here's the burden. Get the gospel to every home. Get it in every hand. And pray it gets in every heart. This is the burden of this soul, of this church. And here's what I'm saying to you. There are some of you sitting here tonight. Hey, you would never knock on a door. I understand that. I understand that. Doesn't mean it's right, but I understand it. But you'd be willing to let somebody else knock the doors, and you'd let them park in your driveway, wouldn't you? Amen, friends, or not? Amen, right? So what am I saying? I'm saying we're going to start with our church family. We've got people scattered all over the Tri-Cities. Kingsport, Gray, Jonesboro, Sulphur Springs, Johnson City. And instead of just looking here, let's help you reach your own Jerusalem. And if you're willing to let somebody from the church come by and help you, even if you just want to go with them, hey, when I come in there, I guarantee you don't have to say a word with me. I'll do all the talking, okay? As long as the Lord helps me get my name out of my mouth when I knock on the door, you know what I'm saying? But maybe you'd be willing to go with somebody. You say, well, I'm not comfortable at the door, but I'll go with somebody. Then in what's in the bulletin next week, just turn it in. It'll have a place for your name, your address, and the name of a trailer park if you live in that, or the name of the neighborhood. Then we're going to start generating maps, and we're going to get busy for Jesus Christ. Okay? Does this make sense what I'm saying here? So what we're doing is we are keeping track of our visits. Where have we been? Where are we going? And what happened at that home? And all of this is made so I can say, okay, Brother John or Brother Mark, give me a list of everybody in Crystal Springs who's interested. And they print off just a sheet by doing a search on this, and the only ones that come out are those who are interested, and we give that to Sunday school class and say, here you go, here are prospects, go after them. You got it? Does this make sense what we're doing? We'll learn as we go. We'll learn as we go. And the Lord's burdened me lately saying, you know, Jody, enough talk. Let's get out and get it. Let's get out and get busy. Now, we're out, we're going, but this right here is a more organized way of doing it, so I'm just letting you know about it tonight. We'll explain it as we go, all these kind of things. Again, be expecting something in your bulletin next week to fill out. If you say, yes, I know I should have knocked on my neighbor's doors, I know I've already should have done that, well, now's your chance to say, okay, let the church help you, okay? And we'll send soul winners. Now, depending on how many come in, we may not get to your place for several months or a year even, and so on, but we're going to start making master maps of this and this and this, just your area, and we're going to start going after it right there, reaching our own Jerusalem, okay? Make sense? Yes? No? Confusing? All of this makes sense? Yes? Amen. Is this God's will? Amen. Does God want every home to be knocked on? Amen. Does God want the gospel in every home? Amen. Let's do our part. We're going to be sending an area-wide letter. I'm still working on it, just trying to finalize it and all these kind of things. So every home is going to be bombarded through the mail, and God willing, every home is going to be bombarded with a knock at the door. Even if they're not home, we leave the gospel and trust God for fruit right there in that home, and see how the Lord works. I'm excited about this. This is Visitation Ministry Month, and this is one of the ministries, door-to-door. There's a lot more, but just door-to-door, and we're trying to do our part right here, okay? John, I appreciate your help. Brother Mark, I appreciate your help, and we're going to be using you in a mighty way. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let's turn that off so they can have their attention right here on me, okay? Exodus chapter 20, and we're right now in the middle of the Ten Commandments. I'm preaching a message entitled, from verse number 1, All These Words. And I'm on several pages into it and so on. And just taking my time through this. And what we're doing is, we've already brought out the authority of all these words. And we're in the part now of the account of all of these words. And that's the in-depth study of the Ten Commandments. Let's pray together. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 12. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 12 with me. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is commandment number 5, if you are following along in your notes. We're just studying through this, taking our time. The fifth commandment is this command: honor thy father and thy mother. Now, this command is a clear command, obviously, for children to honor their parents. And let me say this to you tonight. God is very serious about this. And He even attaches a promise. As a matter of fact, it is the first commandment He gives that He attaches a promise to it. The fact of the matter is, though, is that there's very little obedience to this command around the world today. Even among potentially some in this service tonight. And as we travel through this commandment, I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Now, before I go into the main three thoughts I'm going to give you here, there's something in this message for everybody. Now, this will make sense. But the fact of the matter is if you are getting older in life, or even if you have children of your own, Don't fall into the habit of saying, well, this is for my kids. I hope they perk up. Boy, they really need this. Now, that is true. But we're all going to get some help here, especially if our parents are still living. Now, I realize that many of you tonight, your parents are over on the other side. And I'm sure, especially if you had godly parents, that you would almost feel like taking a hanky out and waving it tonight and say, boy, I wish I could have my mom and daddy back so I could do what the preacher's talking about tonight. And let me give you three things about this commandment. Number one, the explanation of it. Let's explain it. What is the explanation of this command? The first thing I want to do is explain what the Lord means. Now notice the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. The word honor here means to glorify. It means to promote. You know, it's also been reported that this word means to give great weight to your parents or to hold your parents as valuable. One man put it this way, to honor a parent is to give him the place of superiority, to hold him or her in high esteem, to reverence him, to respect him. See, this high esteem and reverence for one's parents is very important to the creator of the universe. As a matter of fact, when I was studying about this command, it came out in my study that one of the reasons that God sent the Israelites into Babylon as captives is because they did not honor their parents. I didn't realize that. But you find that in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 7 and verse 15. As a matter of fact, it's also right here. This commandment meant so much and still means so much to, I'm talking about the creator of the universe here, that in the Old Testament it was worthy. If a child dishonored their mom or dad, they were worthy of capital punishment. We see this in Deuteronomy. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You listening to me? Even though God does not give that to us in the New Testament, He is still that serious about a boy and girl honoring their mama and their daddy. One preacher put it this way, and boy, is he true. Again, it is fortunate in America that God did not bind it to a Mosaic covenant, for under such regulations, there wouldn't be a high school classroom in America with more than 20 children left alive in it. How true is that? One man put it this way, if the home is right, society, the government, and the church will be right. One man put it this way, the key to societal stability is reverence and respect for parents and their authority. Another man said it this way, a lack of respect for parental authority will ultimately lead to anarchism in society in general. It's been said, and I quote, there is absolutely no excuse for any behavior that attacks, disrespects, or dishonors one parents. It is a sign of ignorance and immaturity. Matthew 5:4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Proverbs 20, verse 20, listen to this. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, he is lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. God doesn't look at this lightly, friends. Proverbs 30, verse 17, listen to this. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, but it sounds pretty painful to me, friends. What am I saying to you? I'm saying the explanation of this command is that God expects and demands for children to honor their mom and daddy. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there may be somebody here who says, I don't have honorable parents. I don't see that in this command. Now, I'm going to speak about that later, so stay with me, parents. But God did not say, honor thy mother and father if they deserve it. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, honor thy mother and father if they're honorable. It doesn't say that. It simply says, honor thy father and thy mother. You know what that tells me? This is not an option. It's an obligation. And what I'm saying to you is this. God has commanded for children to honor mom and daddy. By the way, one reason he does that, no doubt in my mind, is because they represent him in that home, friends. And may I say to you that disrespect for your mom and daddy is ultimately disrespect for your God. That's what it is. A mother that had scrimped and saved to put her son through college, sat in her son's graduation, and she watched as he walked across the platform and received his degree with honors. As he walked down the aisle, instead of turning into the designated row, he kept walking down to where his mother sat. The young man threw his arms around her neck, kissed her on the cheek, and he placed his diploma in her hands and said, "Here, mother, you earned this." You know, the fifth commandment addresses that which many parents have earned, and that is your respect, your honor. Let's face it, there aren't that many children who hold their parents in that high regard as that young man did. Too often, good old mom and dad are seen as obstacles to be overcome rather than wise guides to be followed and emulated. In this fifth commandment, God lays down a principle for life that will determine how every relationship around you will turn out. You see, the home is the foundational institution of society. And no nation, community of people is stronger than the family structure that makes them up. As you've heard, as goes the home, so goes the nation, the community, the church. In the home, God has established an order. I'm reading directly here. God has established an order that is to be strictly followed. The husband father is to be the head of that home, submitting himself to the will of the Heavenly Father. The wife is to be in subjection to her husband, not as his doormat, but as a helpmeet. The children are to submit themselves to their parents, and in so doing will be blessed of the Lord. If this order is followed, then the home will be blessed and will be a blessing to all those that are involved in it. This preacher goes on to say, yet many homes are in shambles tonight because the children have forgot all about the fifth commandment. It's fitting that this commandment, now get this, should fall here. Commandment 1, 2, 3, and 4 is our relationship to God. But starting with commandment 5 down through 10, it's our relationship to man. And it's interesting where God starts with our relationship to man. It's at home. And it says, you see, when we're out of step in the home, we will be out of step with God, with our fellow human beings. It's in the parental relationship that we learn first how to submit to the Lord and then how we are to serve our fellow man. My friends, it is the will of God for children to honor their parents. Are you obeying this command, no matter how old or how young you are? You may think your parents don't know that much. Just give it a little bit of time. Mark Twain said this, and I quote, "When I was 14 years old, my daddy was so ignorant I hated to have the old man around. But when I was 21 years old, I was astonished to see how much my father had learned in only 7 years." Amen. Especially teenagers. You know, I love teenagers, and they love me sometimes, but hate me when I preach messages like this. The old man, the old lady. By the way, if it ever came out of your mouth, somebody ought to stick a bar of soap or slap you silly. Amen. Amen. Ask God to forgive you later for it. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Honor your mom and daddy. Especially if you're here tonight because they love you enough to have you here. Or at least let you come. What am I saying? I'm saying that's the explanation of it. He wants you to respect them. He wants you to glorify them. He wants you to honor them. He wants you to promote them. Number two, let me give you the examples of this command. Within the pages of God's precious word, we have some great examples to show us this command in action. I want to give you three of them. Number one is a young man by the name of Joseph. Let me give you some scripture here. Genesis chapter 46, verse 29. Listen to this. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. Now get this. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Genesis chapter 47, verse 12. Listen to this. This is still Joseph. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren, and all his household with bread, according to their families. In other words, his daddy had a need. His daddy wasn't able to take care of himself, if you will, during this drought. So Joseph honored his daddy by providing his needs. Oh, I'm so tempted to get ahead of myself right there. Let me give you another scripture here. This is all Joseph, chapter 48, verse 12 of Genesis. And Joseph brought them out, talking about his sons. He brought his boys to his daddy for his daddy to bless them. And it says he brought them out from between his knees. And get this. And he, Joseph, bowed himself with his face to the ground. When you think about Bible characters, and Bible characters that you would want to emulate in your life, to imitate in your life, to become like in your life. One of the Bible characters that they say reminds people of Jesus with his similarities, maybe as much as anybody else in the Word of God, not for sure, just but his comparisons, is this young man called Joseph. Hey, you want to study a man's life and the Word of God, that it'd be great just to say, hey, just do what he did. Go to Joseph's life. But one thing that's bypassed in Joseph a lot of times, because see, a lot of times you just think about how he forgave his brothers, and he did. You think about how he didn't hold bitterness, and he didn't. You think about how he nourished his family, and he did. But the fact of the matter is, the Word of God is so clear here that one thing that was such a highlight in Joseph's life is he honored his daddy. He respected him. He fell on his neck. He bowed down before him. And when he had a real legitimate need and Joseph had the means to take care of him, he didn't hesitate. He took care of his daddy. Another Bible example is Solomon. You see Solomon's example in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. His mother was a lady by the name of Bathsheba. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, it says this, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon, he's the king, to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down himself unto her. See the king in all of his glory, Solomon. He speaks and whatever he says, it comes. His word is the word. And at this time, you put some teenager on the throne, or you put some young man on the throne, and he'll walk over mama and walk over daddy and everybody else to have his way. And we know Solomon had his shortcomings. I know that. But this is one plus in his life. When his mother walked into the room, he got up off his throne and bowed himself in front of his mother. But that's not the ultimate example. The ultimate example is Jesus Christ himself. The story in Luke chapter 2, you don't have to turn to it, but in Luke chapter 2, the story when he's 12 years old and he's left behind and his family is on their way back home and they just suspected that Jesus was among the crowd. And when they found out that he wasn't among the crowd, they turned back and found him in the temple questioning the lawyers. You know the story. His mother comes to him, and I'm paraphrasing and saying, where have you been? We've been looking all over for you. And he said, wish you not that I must be about my father's business. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it's interesting. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He put himself under the authority of his mama and his earthly father. Now, when I say earthly father, we know Joseph was not his daddy. I'm just saying his authority figure. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, was subject unto his mom and daddy. And yet in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, we see the Lord doing something interesting when he's being crucified. He's hanging on the cross of Calvary. There he is, bleeding and dying. His mother's there. The apostle that was beloved was there, John. Anybody remember what the Lord did? He said, John, I'm paraphrasing. He said, behold my mother. You know what he was doing? He was making sure that his mother was taken care of before he left this world. That's precious, isn't it? That's the examples of this. Honoring them, reverencing them, loving them, subjection under them, and taking care of them as much as you can. Now, let me give you number three, and that is this: the execution of this command. How do you fulfill this command? How do you do it? Let me give you three things in closing, okay? Number one. In other words, we've looked at the explanation of this command to promote, to honor, to glorify, to respect. We looked at the examples of this command: Joseph, Solomon, Jesus. But now I want to show you the execution of this command. How do you execute this? How do you fulfill this? How do you do it? See, it is God's desire for children to honor parents. And God's not changed his mind on this. Now let me close by giving you three ways that you can obey this command. Okay? Three ways. Number one, by our actions. We see this in Ephesians. As a matter of fact, I want you to turn to Ephesians with me. The book of Ephesians is the parallel passage to this command for us in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1 and following. I'm giving you three ways to do this command. So if your mom or daddy or both are still living, let me give you three ways to apply this to your life. This is the application, okay? This is how to apply it. We can all agree that God wants us to do this. Amen, right? We can all agree that there's been great examples set, I've talked about before us, but now let's apply it. How can I do this with my mom and daddy? And how can my children do it with me and their mama? Well, we do it, first of all, by our actions. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I'm saying to you that what I mean by your actions is this. One way you keep this command is you obey mama and daddy, as long as they are not trying to play God in your life. You are to obey mom and daddy. Now, if mom and daddy try to say, now listen, I want you to go out with this person. I want you to spend a night with him. I want you to have immoral relations with him. Then at that moment you say, mama, I love you, but I love Christ more. Going back to this morning, I cannot break God's commandment. Amen, friends. But I don't know too many parents making those kind of commands. I know parents saying, go clean your room. I know parents saying something like this: you got to be in at 11 o'clock at night. Amen. And people just rant and rave. Hey, they may not rant and rave in front of mom and daddy, but they'll rant and rave in front of their friends. And their friends will say things that they want to hear. Well, they're just old-timey. Thank God for old-timey parents. Amen. Lord, make me an old-timey, old-fashioned daddy. I almost said mom and daddy there, but anyway. What am I saying? I'm saying this. It has always been and always will be the will of God for children to obey mom and daddy when mom and daddy are not trying to play God in their life. Amen. One preacher put it this way: in principle, obedience to parents promotes a better life than disobedience. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." So you apply this command by your actions, obeying them. Number two, you apply this command by your attitude toward them. You see this in verse number 2 of Ephesians 6, "Honor thy father and mother." We've already preached on this word. And I'm saying to you here that maybe you've heard the story of the little boy who was told by his parents to sit down. And he said, "I'm sitting down, but in my heart I'm standing up." Or maybe the story of a father who really whipped his child and said, "Now remember, I'm doing this in love." And the little boy said, "I wish I were big enough to return the favor." You realize, friends, that it is possible to obey your parents in action but dishonor them in your attitude? A great illustration of the, well, not a great one, but just one that people can identify with. Let's say that you're my mom and you're my daddy. Now, you're not. Thank the Lord for it. But say you were my mom and my dad, and say that I had a dirty room or something like that. And you say, "Now, son, now before I let you do that, I want you to go clean your room." And I sit there and I go, don't say a word. Just shake my head. And I go through this door, and if this was my bedroom door, you hear me slam the door, and I go in there, and I take a toothbrush, and I white glove it all the way from top to bottom, and when I'm done, it is the best you've ever seen my room. Are you listening to me? I obeyed you, but I dishonored you in my attitude. And God is not pleased with that. So young people, let me ask you a question. Are you obeying mom and daddy? Number two, how's your attitude when you do it? Now, I'm sure in a crowd this size that we've got parents that never deal with a rebellious kid. I mean, they've always said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'll do that immediately, sir. Immediately, ma'am. Anything else you'd like, mama? Anything else you'd like, daddy?" I'll tell you one thing, that, hey, I've got an 11-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 10-month-old going on 11-month-old, and I'm guarantee you this, even the 11-month-old, you don't have to teach to have a bad attitude. She's got a temper. Now, that probably means Jalen's bugging her. It's probably what it means. Jalen will get right up in her face and just, you know, she's sitting there, she's, what am I saying? God, keep that in there for when she dates. Amen. Boy tries to get in her face, I'll say, "Not, hey, break his nose, come and confess to me. We're not Catholic, but anyway, come and confess to me." And I believe the Lord say, "I understand, sweetheart." What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying our attitude many times speaks more loudly than our actions and our words do. Let me give you a third way to do this. And this is where, if you have children of your own but your mom or daddy is still alive, this is where we come in, okay? You can also keep this commandment by your actions, your attitude, and number three, by your aid. Your help, your aid, your assistance. See, we honor them when we help them, when they need it. One example would be, no doubt, for instance, we ought to have an attitude of gratitude that is displayed more among young people around this country and around this world for their parents. See, get this. Here's an example I'm trying to give you. Let us remember that without the aid of our parents, most here today wouldn't be here. They've clothed us, they fed us, they nurtured us, they protected us, and they provided with us for us, get this, when we could not for ourselves. However, many times these parents who are so cared for their children, they are set aside when they get older and they can no longer do for themselves. You know, one man put it this way, the young storks, by an instinct of nature, bring meat to the old ones when by reason of age they are not able to fly. Did you know that? When a stork is so old that it cannot fly anymore, the young ones will go get meat and bring it back to them. God has put it into the creation being, friends. And if he made it where the birds do it, should human beings not be doing that? Many human beings, though, look at their aged parents as a burden instead of as a blessing. To be able to repay some of what their parents did for them when they couldn't help themselves. I wrote down right here, and there's some of you I'm thinking of right now. I am honored to be the pastor of some of those people who are here tonight, and you are tenderly caring for your parents now because they can no longer care for themselves. And I want to say to you, God bless you. That is honoring your mom and daddy, and it pleases the Lord, and it brings a smile, I believe, to his face. You're really, in reality, all you're doing is returning the favor for what they did for you when you were in diapers and you couldn't help yourself. I'm reminded of a story that I heard about a portrayal of some kind that this portrayal was to explain the needs of the aged. And there was a picture of a granddaddy, a picture of a daddy, and the picture of a son. So a granddaddy, a son, and his son. The granddaddy's hands were very shaky at this time, and he couldn't hold a bowl, hardly anything, but the story goes of a bowl that he was handed, and his hands were shaking, and he was just old, and he couldn't do it. And he happened to drop a precious piece of china. It was a bowl onto the floor, and it shattered. The father of this granddaddy, in anger, banished his daddy into a room and closed the door and gave him a wooden bowl so he wouldn't break it, you see, if he dropped it. A couple days later after this, the daddy, who put his daddy in a room somewhere, saw his son at work. He was working in the yard, and the boy was carving something. And the daddy said, "Son, what are you making?" And he held up a wooden bowl. And he said, "I'm making this for you, Daddy." The point is, you reap what you sow, friends. And if you want your children to take care of you, it's between them and God, and ultimately their heart has to be right. You better take care of your mom or daddy if and when they need it. I'm telling you, it's the will of God. The point is, we better watch the way we treat our parents, because if God blesses you, you're going to have little ones one of these days. And the monster may come out at home at that time. Oh, it's awful quiet in here, friends. Now, before I conclude, I am concluding, I think. I want to speak to a couple of other people. In other words, I'm changing a little bit here and speaking to a couple other people that the Lord laid on my heart when I was studying this. No doubt God wants children to honor mom or daddy. Amen, friends? That's the will of God. How do you do it? In your actions, you obey them, as long as they're not trying to tell you to do something against God. In your attitude, the way you do it. And then in your age, you help them as much as you can, as often as you can when they need it. But no doubt there could be somebody, I hope not, but there could be somebody here thinking, "I never had parents." There may be somebody here tonight who never had a mom or dad. Maybe somebody gave you away or disowned you. If that's the case, and I hope it's not, but if that's the case, let me remind you that God has a special promise to those without parents. Psalm 27:10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Ethel Waters, who's known for singing, "His eye is on the sparrow." She was a product of a rape of a 14-year-old girl. And as a result of this, she was shunned. And Ethel Waters said, and I quote, "Every child needs at least one lap to sit on. But I never had a lap to sit on." Yet when she received Christ, she said that she didn't have time to think about her past hurt, for she was so busy praising the Lord. So just in case somebody's here, "I don't have a mom or daddy. They disown me. I don't even know who my mom or daddy is." I'm simply trying to tell you this. If you are saved today, you have a whole lot more than you realize. And if your mom or daddy has forsaken you, God will take you up. But I close with this thought, and that's a word to the parents. See, it came out in my study, and this hit me between the eyes as well, that this is not only a command for children, but what a challenge this command is to parents. Matter of fact, all parents can be challenged by this command. As I've said before, parents represent God to their children, and therefore they carry a heavy responsibility. And one man said it this way, this command, the command is reflexive. It speaks to the child and says, honor. But in that very word, it springs back upon the parents and says, be honorable. Boy, I like that. See, a girl in college was dying because of a car accident. This was years ago, apparently. She was in a car wreck and she was dying and she knew it. And she said to her mother, she said, Mother, you've taught me how to hold my cigarette. You've taught me how to be popular. You've taught me how to dress. You've taught me how to use contraception. But you've not taught me how to die. Mama, how do I die? Can I challenge every parent here? It is so hypocritical of a mom or dad to say, God says to obey, son or daughter. You're to obey me. You're to submit to me. You're to honor me. If your life does not cry out for that more than your words, are you living a life worthy of honor? I want my children to have a daddy that is worthy of their honor. I want them to know that when I honor my daddy, that I am honoring a man who loves God and who wants to be right with God in every stitch of his being. Hear this command. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Doesn't say your days will be long, but they may be long. And may God help us all to honor our parents. Amen, friends. That's the will of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this privilege to preach. Help us, Lord, to see the importance of this. And help young people tonight to see the importance that you place on this of honoring mama and daddy. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, I want them to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you this question. Are you 100% sure that God is your Father? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Truly born again? Why don't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel? Or maybe you're a young person that you're living still at home. You're in mom or daddy's house. God is speaking to you tonight saying, you know, this command tonight's for you. You need to look at your mom or daddy the way that I want you to look at them. You need to honor them. Obey them with a good attitude. Wouldn't it be great to have some teenagers come to the altar tonight and say, God, make this a reality in my life? Or maybe there's some parents here tonight and you say, Jody, God's speaking to me because I need to have a life that's more honorable. This doesn't mean you're wicked or ungodly. It just means that God's speaking to you and saying, you know, you need to tighten up there a little bit, or you're a little loose there. Live a life more honorable. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because you have aged parents. They can't get around like they used to. And maybe tonight you have even been taking care of them, but you've grown weary. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort. Maybe the Lord has come down, just sat down right beside you and said to you, well, I appreciate what you're doing for your mom or daddy. Don't stop. Matter of fact, if you have an aged parent that just, they need help, and you know it, they need help, would you raise your hand, be honest about that? You say, Jody, I've got parents like that. Yes. How's God using this in your life? Are you caring for them? Are you trying to take care of them? That doesn't mean that you give everything you have to them and you neglect your own family. God-given duties never conflict. What I'm saying is that you don't look at them as a burden, but you look at them as a blessing, that all you're doing is caring for them now the way that they cared for you when you couldn't care for yourself. Have you tonight say, Jody, my mom and daddy, both of them, have already passed over to the other side. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. Well, if you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it. Look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Would you say amen to this message tonight, friends? Especially if you had a mom or daddy that raised you in the ways of God. These whose heads are still bowed and eyes still closed, would you agree with me that they need to take this commandment serious? Would you say amen if you agree with that? Amen. Maybe some of you all would just like to come to the altar and say, you know, I don't know if he'll do this or not, but maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, would you call my mom or daddy to your side? Tell them one more time, I said thank you. Tell them I love them. And I thank them for the sacrifice they made. You say, will that happen? I don't know. What's the harm in asking? Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. If you want to come and just thank God for your parents, or if you want to come and say, God, help my attitude, or if you want to come and say, God, help me to honor my mom or daddy, or if you as a parent want to come and say, God, help me be more honorable for my children, however God's using this, would you leave your place and would you come? If you want to come and say, God, help my attitude to be right toward my aged parents, I'm getting weary in this, but help me to stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. As Brother Gary sings, would you come? Come now. Would you
have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me.
Some of you teenagers, come on. Grab your mom or daddy. Bring them to the altar. Say, let's go pray, mom or daddy. Well, that'd be great for some of you teenagers to lead the way tonight. How's God using this in your life? Still time for you. We'll have Brother Gary sing another verse. God is dealing. God is working. God is moving. We'll let him have his way as he sings. You come, please.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only, always living in me.
Keep singing on, Brother Gary. Folks still respond.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will.
Good idea for some of you tonight to go home and get on the telephone. Maybe your mom or daddy lives out of state. God's speaking to you tonight and say, boy, I tell you, you're blessed. Call them. Say, I just want to tell you, I thank you for what you've done. Thank you for changing my diaper. Thank you for putting food in my mouth when I couldn't feed myself. Thank you for putting clothes on me when I couldn't dress myself. And as we leave and meditate on this thought tonight, let it ring in your ears. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. May the Lord help us. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this privilege of being in a Sunday evening service. Bless this church and help us, Lord, truly to honor our mom and daddy. Fill us with the power of God. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for being here. God bless you. Please shake each other's hands on your way out. See somebody you don't recognize, shake their hand. Make them feel at home, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here.